It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? The book of John, John chapter 18, and we're going to read the first 11 verses of that chapter, John chapter 18, verse 1 through 11. So please that you would join me and open your Bibles and prepare for the study. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. That's Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to get a hold of us through our website, also, we have on that website the Sunday message, a Sunday morning message, and all three radio programs. So it would be four different messages that you could listen to if you'd like to. And it is www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Now, if you've had enough time now to open your Bibles, let's get right to the study. John chapter 18, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook of Kindred, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come unto him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell on the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword unto thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Let's begin with prayer before we start the study today. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come and enjoy this time together. I ask that you will open our eyes, our hearts, our ears unto you, that we will be listening ever so carefully and so closely. We'll be led by the Holy Spirit, that we will know it to be the truth as we study through these verses of Scripture. And as we look at this time, we have had such a sweet study in the last few weeks with the prayer that Father, your Son, the Lord Jesus, had with you just prior to facing the cross. And now we begin to move one step closer to that horrible day, but a blessed day for us because it was a day that our sins were taken away. Thank you, Father, for your great love to us and your willingness to give your Son and Jesus that you would come. Father, it's so wonderful to serve a God that loves us so much and has given us an opportunity to have our sins forgiven and taken away. So please, guide and lead us, bring us to salvation if we have never come by faith to you and do not know you personally as our Savior. And also, Lord, that if each and every one of us need victories in our lives, that we may get victory over sin and walk closer and closer to you, Lord, please that that happen and that happen soon, Lord. It's wonderful that we can walk each day with you. Help us to see your way and will. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the 18th chapter, we have finished up with the last verses of the 17th chapter the last time we were together, and we have enjoyed ever since the 13th chapter, from chapter 13 through the 17th chapter, we have listened to the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have followed the Lord Jesus as he prayed. We have enjoyed the wonderful testimony the Lord Jesus has given us by the miracles performed, and now we are beginning to take again the step close to the cross. And the first place we go is that we cross over the Brook of Kindron, and it's found between Jerusalem and Mount Olives. And we find it to be a place, and that place is called a garden. We've crossed the brook, we go to the garden. The garden, as we know it, to be the Garden of Gethsemane. But as we look at the position and the place of the Lord Jesus Christ, when Jesus had spoken these words, again, the teaching, the praying, the testimony, everything that he has given us, and we thank you, Lord, that you have given us all these things. We need to constantly be stopping and praising him for what he has given us in wisdom and teaching of his way and his will. And it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, and he went forth with his disciples over the brook of Kindron. Now, the Lord Jesus, in his teaching, his praying, and now he's about to be this sacrifice. And so we know that the wonderful teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, a place and a position of the priest, is to do just that, to teach and to pray and then to offer the sacrifice. Well, the Lord Jesus here, as being our high priest, now that he has completed this work, he too followed the same course. He taught, and then he prayed, and then he offered himself. You know, as he was teaching to prepare his disciples for his absence, preparing his disciples that they may continue to proclaim clearly the truth, the death, burial, and resurrection, proclaim clearly that he is God. And we need to always continue to recognize that, as some people say, yes, I know he's God, and then they always add this three-letter word, but, you know, I don't quite understand this, and I don't quite understand that. Those folks, sad to say, are not close in walking with the Lord Jesus. Many of them do not know the Lord Jesus. That doubt, that but that they have placed in there, is having no faith, because they have never truly believed and come by faith to Jesus Christ. You need to do that today. You need to turn to the Lord Jesus and be saved. So we find here in the scripture, as he is preparing to fulfill this place, this position as priest, as high priest, that he too taught, he was teaching his disciples. He prayed for himself unto his Father. We found that in this last chapter we've just been through. And now we look, and he is going forward to the time of offering himself as the sacrifice, not offering another sacrifice as all other priests before him have done. And so we find him completing that work. We know that his disciples are with him. We have this listed here in the scripture. Jesus spoke these words, and he went forth with his disciples. We find him again crossing the brook of Kindron. Now, as we look at that brook, there's a couple verses of scripture that I want to read for you today. You can sure read along with me if you'd like. Psalms 110, we're going to read verses 4 through 7. And it speaks of a brook, and then we finish there. We're going to 2 Samuel, where we find, as David was being pursued, that he crosses a certain brook. And so listen to these verses of scripture here. And first of all, we're going to Psalms 110, and we're going to read from verse 4 to 7, Psalms 110, and we begin to read with verse 4. And the Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And the Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. He shall drink in the brook of the way. And there's something how he has given his testimony, he has been preaching, he's been teaching, he's been praying, and now as we cross this brook in the way to the cross, that we find it also listed here in all the things that are going to come to pass concerning the Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead the dead bodies, and shall wound the heads among many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. the Lord Jesus Christ asks God the Father here, you know, will you lift this cup from me? And we'll look at that verse of Scripture a little later. And we know that, there is no other way. God the Father had sent him. He is not being disobedient. He is just coming before him, and there is no other way, so he will be obedient and follow the Father and do what he wants him to do, which is necessary, going to the cross of Calvary. He is not going to the cross of Calvary for his own sake. For anything that he has done, it is all because of my sin and your sin that he has forced to go to the cross of Calvary, that we may have redemption, we may have salvation. It comes by means and by way of the cross. The work begins there, and that's about where we're looking to right here. And so, I wanted you to see that. He shall drink of the brook in the way, and that awful drink, that dirty water that has come down through and by the streets of Jerusalem and come down this brook. It was dirty and filthy that Jesus was forced to drink, and that is the literal wrath of his Father, because he took all of our sin upon him. Never forget what Jesus has done for you and for me. 1 Samuel chapter 15. As we look at a couple of verses here, again we find David in this scripture. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over, and the king also himself passed over the brook of Kidron. And all the people passed over towards the way of the wilderness. And now to the 30th verse. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olive, and wept as he went up, and had his head covered, and he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. We need to see that David is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the condition that he's heading to for Mount Olives. Look, as we look at the cross of Calvary, the condition of the Lord Jesus. He was going, he was king. He is priest. We've looked that he has fulfilled everything for the priest. He taught, he prayed, and he is offering sacrifice, which being himself in this case. But at the same time now, we see him also in 2 Samuel, he is king. All being the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he is God. He is filling the role and will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is our high priest. We love the Word of God. We love confirming Scripture with Scripture. Never miss it as you look to the Word of God. Now, as we examine these verses of Scripture, and once again, when Jesus had spoken, I'm back at John chapter 18, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook of Kidron, the brook Kidron, where was a garden into which he entered and his disciples. Once again, we know that to be the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus left the city. He left the city often. We know, according to the second verse, Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. So we know this was a place that he went many times to go, and Judas was aware of it because he had been with him many times. And this place is called the Garden of Gethsemane. We're aware that the Judas with the enemies that were with him, the enemies of God, the enemies of Christ. You would think it'd be strange here that we would have names as the chief priests and the Pharisees, because those folks are the religious rulers and the religious leaders. As we continue in time and as time passes, you will find that as you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, those folks that appear to be religious, those folks that have a position in the church, many of these big churches we have, they have left the Word of God. They have left Jesus Christ. They have not recognized that He is God. They speak about it, they preach about it, but they don't believe it. And you'll find that to be true, and it's going to be more common as the days go by. So please do not be surprised, do not be shocked. Maybe you're in a church today that used to preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You wouldn't be in a service that you would not hear the name of Jesus lifted up. You would not hear the way of salvation come by faith as the call goes out. But it's been some time, and all of a sudden you no longer hear it any longer, and you wonder why. Well, the reason why is because of the time. Our time is short before the return of the Lord Jesus. The old devil is working overtime. He has his workers working overtime to deceive, and the point is that he's attempting to even deceive the very elect, those that have come by faith to the Lord Jesus, those that are saved and are kept by the Holy Spirit. Yet the evidence is so bewildering sometimes that the way that we are placed, our eyes get turned to the world. We become prideful. We desire things of possessions, a place of position, a place of authority. All those things that take us away from the humble condition that we should be in, and take our eyes away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, that you look to Jesus. Come with a bowed head and a humble heart. Recognize that you're a sinner, you're lost. Call upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then begin that wonderful walk. Please, look, the enemy's awaiting. We find the enemy is awaiting here in this verse, and the enemy to be these religious leaders. And many people chose to follow the religious leaders and their teaching instead of the Word of God. I have many times that I have folks that are in church and in positions of authority in the church, and yet they question very much the Word of God. It's because their God is Satan. They're following after him, not after the true God, the only God. And my God, the Father that is in heaven, don't be deceived by the God of this world. These enemies that come, they were smart enough to know that they best not try to arrest Jesus where there was a large group of people. They waited till he had left town, went to the edge of town. Again, it was a very common place for the Lord Jesus to go, and he would go there many times at night. The record of him staying in Jerusalem at night we don't have, because he always went out to the garden. He went away from the city one direction or another, not to stay within the walls of Jerusalem. And so we find the enemy awaiting him, and as they find Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. We look to the third verse of John chapter 18. They were waiting for a place. You know, in the other Gospels speak of many things concerning things that went on in the garden, the suffering, but John does not. He just speaks more of the glory of God, and we're going to see his glory and his might. This band of men that we have here, as we look at Luke chapter 22, verse 52, Luke 22:52, it says, "Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief, with swords and with staves." The question was lifted up, and it continues. Let me just read verse 53, Luke 22:53. "When I was daily with you in the temple, he stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. I have been with you many times. Why do you believe you need to come with this band of men?" A band is said to be a tenth part of a legion, and that's approximately 500 men. Matthew calls it a great multitude came after the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine that many people coming into this garden to come against the Lord Jesus Christ so that he could be arrested? They were afraid of the power of God, weren't they? They were just not smart enough to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not even smart enough to be afraid of the power of God. They knew that by the people, they had witnessed the miracles and all the things that the Lord Jesus was able to do, knowing that no man could do those. But you see, instead of facing their sin and their spiritual condition, they immediately looked another direction. We need to rid ourselves of this righteous man, because this man is light, and we don't like it. Now, they would not recognize that he was God. That's the problem. They recognize him to be a good man, a very righteous man, but he claimed to be God, and they would not accept that. Well, he had every right to claim his place and position as God, because he is God. He was God, he is God, and he forever will be God. There's never been a time that there has not been the Son of God, not been the Holy Spirit, not been God the Father. He didn't start when he was born in Bethlehem. His beginning, his origin didn't start there. He has always been from the foundations of the world. We look at this time here. We have, once again, in verse, let me just read the first verse down through 3. We'll begin to look at what's taking place. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook of Kindron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples. Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. He was very much aware of where he was going. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, come thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Now again, we went back to Luke 22, read verse 52 and 53 of chapter 22, and we found Jesus asking, you know, why are you coming and treating me as a thief when I have been with you daily in the temple? Why do you come in such a manner? We find now in verse 4, Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come unto him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? He knew that they were coming for him, but he asked this question, and they answered him and said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. Now if we look back once again to Luke 22, and again I have the advantage of having more than one Bible. I have the Bible turned to Luke that's to my left. Then I have the text that we're coming from today in John 18. And then you'll find to my right I have a third Bible, all King James, all very easy to understand. And I look to the third Bible, and right now it's turned to Psalms, because that's the last place that we had looked at those verses of Scripture. So as I just turn my head, I look over to Luke chapter 22, verse 47. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before him and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. Back to the 4th and 5th verse. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come unto him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? Now, in Luke, it records that Judas came up and kissed him to identify who he was. Well, they answered here in John 18:5, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. Now, it's Jesus of Nazareth. They didn't call him the Christ. They did not acknowledge him or recognize him to be the Savior. They needed to look to him as Savior. They need to acknowledge him as being the Son of the living God. Now, why don't we look to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept that he is God? Because you need to do that today for to have salvation. If you just say you believe, but you do not come and acknowledge that he is God, then salvation is nothing to you. Well, Scripture says to believe, yes, you must believe that he is the Christ, the true Messiah, and the Messiah must be God. He can be none other. So don't be deceived by any others. But as they acknowledged him, they did not know him as their Savior. That's the reason they were ignorant to him. Is that the point that you're at? Have you been deceived by some church or some cult that's out there, and you have followed after that, and you have neglected to look to the truth, the Word of God? Well, please listen up, and listen clearly, that you may not miss one more hour, one more day, one more minute of knowing Jesus Christ truly as your Savior, and then you'll make a decision to get out of that cult, get away from that false teaching, and you'll find yourself a Bible-preaching, soul-winning church that teaches the truth. I want you to be there, so please that you find such a place and find it quickly. But first of all, come to Jesus Christ. Watch him transform your life and change your life. It'll completely, he makes it new. You know, he doesn't take something old and try to rebuild it. He makes us new. We receive a new heart when we come by faith to the Lord Jesus. So please that you will come today. We look on now. He says, "Whom seek ye?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said unto him, "I am he." Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. Looked in the Luke 22, saw at that place where that it acknowledged that Judas kissed him. And as soon then, in verse 6 here, John 18:6, as soon then as he had said unto them, "I am he," they went backward and fell on the ground. They went backward and fell on the ground. Now I'm going to turn to John chapter 1. I'm going to look to John chapter 1. This is a very familiar verse of Scripture that we read many times, but it's one that we can never neglect or forget. John chapter 1, verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." God. Jesus, as we look at the sixth verse, John 18:6, "As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell upon the ground." Now, if they would have known the Lord Jesus Christ to be God, they would have fallen forwards in prayer and in worship. But instead of that, they fell backwards in fear and trembling. That's what's going to happen to you. There'll be a day that if you've refused to come by faith and truly trusted in Jesus as your Savior, recognized your sin, all those things, we talk about those things, but that's all together. Because you see, the day that the Holy Spirit will convict you of your sin, you have a day, you have a time then to make a decision. Do I want to just take my sin and I can bear my sin and I'll stand before a holy God and there I have no fear? Well, you will have fear. You're lying to yourself to begin with. Or at that time you have a choice to make and you recognize your horrible condition, the need that you have for Jesus Christ, and then you ask Jesus to come into your heart and to save you. Please that you do that. When you recognize your condition and you turn unto God and you desire to come to Him, He does the work. He saves you. He snatches those sins away from you, never to return again. And then He places a seal upon you so that you can never be separated again from Him. It's wonderful, the work that is done, the beautiful, wonderful work that is accomplished by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Please that you look unto the Lord Jesus for salvation today. Recognize that your condition is that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. These people, instead of looking and recognizing, wait a minute here, we've come to arrest you. We don't want to do that because you're God. Please forgive us, and fell before Him. Forgive me of my sin, and please that you would save me. If they would have done that, salvation would have come into the heart of everyone that asked. But instead of that, why, they came, they didn't recognize Him as God, and they did not recognize Him as Savior. They saw no need for a Savior. They were trusting in their church and their religion. Well, they didn't fall forwards in worship. They fell backwards again in fear and in trembling. You choose not to come to Jesus, there's going to be a day that you will bow down before Him. But it's going to be in the same condition. You'll be fearful and you'll be scared, because the only thing that's going to happen is that you're going to be called upon. Books are going to be open. You'll be cast into the lake of fire, because the only thing that's going to protect you and save you is the blood of Jesus Christ. You must look to the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood, the blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary for you. If you've missed that, please come today. I don't care what your church teaches. I don't care what you were taught when you're little. I don't care if you've never entered a church or never opened a Bible. Listen to the truth, the Word of God. Open your Bible up and read chapter 18 of John, and on through. You'll follow right through the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Oh, the power. Jesus Christ is in control. He's in control today. He was in control yesterday. He will be in control tomorrow. So as we face eternity, you face that grave, young or old, we need to be prepared. So we need to face that very question that I ask each time, because it all comes to one name, There's no name under heaven and earth with more power, and that's the name of Jesus. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?